I think we have read our text twice, first in call to worship and second time in responsive reading, but hope it would not hurt if we read third time. Rather, there is blessing promised to the reading of word. Today's text is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Why do you say, O Jacob and Israel, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escape the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Being honest, have you ever felt that God does not care about you? And I'm sure many of us do that. Obviously, trials can make us lose sight of God's majesty and cause us to feel sorry for ourselves. Some of God's people in Isaiah's times could not harmonize suffering and with God's love. Though they thought if God loves us, there should be no problems in our life. And that's what the prosperity preachers and tele-evangelists these days, they say, or they are selling all the time, that God does not want you to have any problem. God wants you to be happy. But the Bible has quite a lot to tell about it in the lives of some of the greatest saints in the Bible. For example, David in Psalm 42 and 43, Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, and Jonah in Jonah chapter 4, Jeremiah chapter 20 in the life of Jeremiah. All of them faced hard times. Isaiah's readers were under the threat of Assyria at that time. And years later, Isaiah's readers during the Babylonian captivity were under the domination of godless empire. So Isaiah encouraged the people to remember that God never relaxes. God never relaxes. He's always watching his people. This passage, especially verse 31, has been a favorite of the Lord's people for thousands of years. And it is one of the favorite of mine. Two, all of these verses in our text are blessing because they speak to us about who God is and about what he does for his people. In verse 27, Jacob and Israel are synonyms for all God's people. In next 10 chapters, chapter 40 through 49, Isaiah used these two names or two words together 16 times. But in verse 28, first part of verse 28, Isaiah writes about God's name, and in the last part of verse 28b and 29, Isaiah writes about God's nature. So we will focus first on God's name and God's nature. Here in verse 28, God's name is Everlasting God. He's everlasting. Elohim Olam. In Hebrew, This name identifies God as the eternal God. There has never been a time when he wasn't, and there will never be a time when he will not be or when he isn't. He existed when there was nothing but him, and he will always exist. God is not subject to the changes. Our God is the same yesterday and today and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Not only God's being is unchangeable in our text, or his being is everlasting, but in the last part of this book, according to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 8, his love is everlasting too. And also in chapter 55, verse 3, and chapter 61, verse 8, not only his love is everlasting, but his covenant is everlasting. And again in chapter 60, verse 15, God makes Zion an everlasting splendor. And finally, in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19 and 20, a new Zion is robed with everlasting light, causing her to rejoice with everlasting joy. Dear people of God, when pressures are threatening to bend us out of shape, we are to recall that they are no consequence to God. These attributes of God must inspire his afflicted people with confidence. The next name of the Lord in our text is the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. This name identifies the Lord as the self-existent one. Every other being in the universe depends upon some other being for its existence, but God depends upon no one. He exists within himself, by himself, and for himself. Also, this name identifies him as the covenant keeper, as the God who stands by his word and the God who can be trusted. Also, this name, the Lord, Yahweh, appears so many times in the Old Testament. We were studying about Old Testament, significance of the Old Testament this morning. The word Yahweh, the Lord, appears so many times in the Old Testament in the compound names of God that reveals so much that who God is. For example, Jehovah Rah, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah El Elyon, the Lord most high, and so on. The third name of God in our text is the Creator. This name identifies him as the one who made everything out of nothing. The Lord who has power to create universe with just his word. That is the God we serve. And that is our Father. And that is the God who takes our part through all the confused ways of life. And in the last part of verse 28 and verse 29, Isaiah not only writes about God's name, but also God's nature. God, the last part of verse 28, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. He does not faint. Our God does not faint. God never becomes exhausted, despite the fact that he is upholding all things by the word of his power, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Secondly, He does not grow weary. He never grows tired from his labors. Yesterday I was working. I had small land to plant some vegetables in the afternoon, and I was so tired. But our God, he does not grow weary. We do not have to worry about our God ever reaching the end of his strength. And his energies are never spent. That's why Psalmist encouraged God's people in this way. Psalm 121, verse 3 through 5. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. And thirdly, God possesses. He possesses all knowledge. What he knows is limited only by his own limitations, which are unlimited. His knowledge is beyond our human comprehensions. Consider Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. God shares his powers, strength, and help with all those who depend on him. What an encouragement that should be to the people of God today. However, we often forget that God knows all about us. Many people are tempted to reason that God did not understand or care about their situation or condition. That's what we do. We have done, and that's what we do. Like Isaiah's reader, we say, my way is hidden from the Lord and my cause is disregarded by God. But this is not true. Of course, and the prophet directly refuses the idea when he says, do you not know? Have you not heard? God rebukes the downcast and depressed for wrong thoughts about him and wrong thoughts about ourselves. Christians who think that God has left them high and dry have cause to be ashamed about such thoughts about God, because such thoughts dishonor the holy and glorious God. Verse 30 reminds us that we, on the other hand, are often worn out. Even the strongest of humans is prone to weakness and failure. We all have the potential to experience times of physical, emotional, and spiritual weakness. We all do. Regardless of how well you may have handled situation in the past, there is always the possibility that you will grow weary, weak, under the various trials of life. That's why Jesus calls us to rest in himself, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you know, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know that Jesus is humble in his heart? He's not only humble in his heart, he has all power and all authority belongs to him. All power belongs to him, according to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. But at the same time, he is approachable. He's like a shepherd who gently leads weak and weary people. That's why in the same chapter, which was our responsive reading this morning, verse 11 tells the same truth about God. He tends his flocks like a shepherd. He gathers the lamb in his arm and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have youngs. Dear people of God, many of us may be going through intense struggle right now. In your family, in our congregation, maybe your relatives, or you yourself. And many of these are health related. Some of them are emotional dilemmas. And they all relate to spirituality and our faith in God and in Christ in some way. When we face distress in life, we need to wait in confident hope upon the Lord. Why? Because in our text, Israel is facing difficulties and they are told to wait on the Lord. I want to point out four truths that should serve to encourage each of us to wait with confident hope for God to work in our lives. First of all, that is that we should know that God is fully aware of our situation. God is fully aware of our situation. We should know that God knows. He has it all planned out and all under His control. Do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? But all through Bible, God knows it before it happens. He's never surprised. You can't sneak up on Him, jump out and scare Him, or surprise Him. God definitely knows what is going on in your life. Again, consider Luke chapter 12, verse 7, which tells us that the very hairs on your head all are numbered. God also knows your particular and personal struggles. Your feelings, limits, griefs, loneliness, frustration, anxiety, and dilemmas. He knows everything about you. He knows how much is in your pocket and as well as bills to be paid. He even knows your heart, the very inmost thoughts of your heart. So each of us can rest fully confident that God knows what we personally are going through. But is God able to do anything about it? Can He do that? You know that He is. Therefore, take encouragement in the knowledge that God is not only fully aware of your situation, but He is fully capable. He can do that. He can help with that. Secondly, God is fully capable. Obviously, people grow weary. Our strength is limited. Our patience is limited. Our ability to endure has a limit. We quit. We falter and we fail. We look for shortcuts, the easy way out. Even valiant young athletes sometimes do not have the strength left for the last mile. We are the ones who try to find a very way out of around obstacles and problems, and we lose patience. And people grow weary at the same time. It is people that fail. You may remember some great people in the history. Napoleon fell. Alexander the Great and Babylon is no more. The Inca disappeared. Your friends, parents, preachers, teachers, whoever is your human hero will disappoint sometimes. They will make mistakes, but left without answer. Not be there when you needed them. But remember, God does not grow weary. Nothing is ever too much for Him. He created everything in 6 days. Simply spoke it into existence. Consider the power, and He put every star in place. We cannot get there in hundreds of years traveling at the speed of light, but He holds it in the palm of His hand. He has been keeping the whole cosmos functioning for thousands of years and is not tired. He does not go to sleep, does not go on vacation, does not get bored, distracted, or forget. He is the everlasting God. Our God is everlasting God, and He possesses all power. He's all-powerful God. He has no beginning or end, and no limits. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, He knows your struggle, and He can handle them. So where is He? Why has He not yet done what I want Him to do? That's the question we always ask. Remember, it is because it is His plan, not mine. It is His plan, not mine. Thirdly, God knows what He is doing, what His plan is. We must remember that. The immediate context of our text reveals that truth, that God knows what He is doing and what is His plan. We do not have His understanding, according to the same chapter, verses 12 and 14. He who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and marked off the heavens by the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in the balance, and the hills in a pair of scale. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselor has informed Him? With whom did He consult, and who gave Him understanding? And who taught Him in the path of justice, and taught Him knowledge, and informed Him of the way of understanding? From this passage, it is clear that His understanding, or God's understanding, no one can fathom. We cannot understand His wisdom. Therefore, like a 3-year-old trying to figure out what you are doing with your taxes, he cannot figure out what you are doing. We are the same. Presidents and kings have their cabinets of counselors for advice, to advise, but God does not need them. There's a problem when we expect God to do things our way and in our time schedule. It does not work. Everything will happen according to God's plan and in His time. He will take care of those who wait for Him in confident hope. And finally, we should all take encouragement from the knowledge that God will strengthen those who wait for Him. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Dear brothers and sisters, consider the examples of some who failed to wait. in the past history or in the history of the Bible. The people who did not wait. For example, those who collected manna on the Sabbath, it didn't work. Every time Israel made military alliance for safety, without first consulting the Lord, what happened? It didn't work. How about King Saul? He did not wait for Samuel to offer sacrifice. He took matters into his own hands and the kingship was taken from him. Will you wait or take matters into your own hands? His time, God's time, his strength, whenever he thinks it is right on his schedule, it will happen. And also consider the examples of some who did wait faithfully in the history of the Bible. For example, Joseph waited 2 to 4 years in the prison. And what happened? God exalted him to be over all Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. God exalted. He waited faithfully and God exalted him. Think about Abraham. He waited 35 years and God fulfilled his promise of his son. Again, think about captives in Egypt. How long they waited? They waited 400 years. And how long will you wait for the Lord? Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." And also Romans chapter 10 verse 11 says, "Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Dear people of God, God is fully in control. God is alive, active, and aware. And at the same time, he's capable. He cares about you. Therefore, place your trust in him and wait. Let us pray. Almighty God, since we are at this day as guilty before you as the Israelites were, we ask you to continue exhort us daily. And though you see us often turning aside from the right course, yet stop not to strength and stretch your hands to your people. Dear God, grant that we may not reject your life-giving word today. Rule us by your Spirit that we may meekly and obediently submit to you. And with such a teachableness, we may learn to wait upon you in all circumstances. In Christ's gracious name I ask. Amen.